We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hi, friends. This episode of Big Blue Banter is brought to you by Prize Picks. Head on over to Prize Picks and use promo code BANTER and they'll match up to $100 on a new deposit. Thank you and enjoy.
Welcome back. It's the Big Blue Banter, New York Giants football podcast. I'm Dan Schneier, joined as always by my co-host Nick Filato. Today we're here to discuss Joe Shane's combine talks. He had his own little presser. He talked with John Schmelk and Madeline Burke of Giants.com, and he talked with Chris Sims and Mike Florio. So a lot of nuggets, interesting nuggets. A lot of it was GM speak, Nick.
Yeah.
I think a lot of this was, why would I not hide my hand? Why am I giving you guys anything? I don't give the public S-H-I-T. Sorry for those of you who are listening with kids who can spell. For those who can't, I tried to help out there. But look, there are some interesting things that were said, and we talked about some of them on the last – we talked about some of them off pod, Nick, but I want to discuss them here as well. The first one I want to talk about is Joe Shane's thoughts on the salary cap increase in the NFL. So I thought this was interesting, and he said this in an interview with Chris Sims and Mike Florio. Nick, he said, we were looking at a very conservative offseason after putting together our numbers. And then he said, I was pleasantly surprised to hear about the new salary cap number, and it was larger than we had projected ourselves. So what are your thoughts on that? Well, do you think that'll impact the Giants' plans at all in free agency?
Yeah, I think it will. It's going to impact every team's plans in free agency, because it's not the Giants who are going to have more, but the Giants have free agents that they might want to prioritize a little bit more now that they have some wiggle room. Because I think it was like $30 million more, the salary cap, than it was projected to be. It was substantial, the amount of salary cap that each NFL team is going to be allocated for next season. But when you look at the New York Giants, you have players like Xavier McKinney, and you have players like Saquon Barkley. And both of those players, now that the Giants do have more wiggle room, I think they're projected to have north of $30 million in cap space, which they did not. They were going to have like, what, like 19, I think, before the salary cap was announced. Now you may be able to extend some of those players if you are so inclined to do so. It's just, are you so inclined to do so? But other teams are now going to have more money to outbid the Giants. So you got to factor that in. But I think it's a pleasant surprise, as Joe Shane phrased it, is probably the most apt way to describe the situation.
Yeah, I think they'll be a little bit more aggressive than they were, but I think you're right. Ultimately, it might come down to just, will they be able to re-sign their own? And Joe Shane mentioned some interesting things. We'll talk about that next on some of the guys that they could potentially re-sign, specifically Saquon Barkley. He reiterated again, in my opinion, that contract negotiations start in November of 2022. And by the way, I forgot one interesting thing I want to throw in there. I'm just noticing this. Joe Shane said this specifically in the interview with Chris Sims and Florio. Nick, he said he thinks that what this will mean, this salary cap increase, is that the middle class of free agency is going to get helped the most by this. So that could be an interesting area of where the Giants are actually looking to find their upgrades this offseason, specifically on the offensive line through free agency. I think no matter what the Giants do, Nick, I want them to address the offensive line of free agency. And I think you agree with that, regardless of the future of this team, if they'd find a quarterback or if they're going back with Jones, it doesn't matter. I want them to address the offensive line to some degree in free agency. So I think that could be where it happens. But on the Barkley front, I thought this was a really interesting quote from Joe Shane. And I want to get your thoughts on this. He said, you know, with Barkley, we started back in November 2022. We weren't able to come to an agreement in terms of where we were both at. But he says, we'll circle back again. He said these two lines that stood out to me, Nick. One, he has a new agent, Ed Berry, who we have a very good relationship with. That stood out to me. Then he also said, I think we've all grown, Saquon, myself, the organization, through the last 12, 13, 14 months of these negotiations. He said this, Saquon may now be in a different place than he was Then, in terms of understanding the market and the business side of it, I'm looking forward to having those conversations with him. So I think that's pointed in a way in my mind. What did you take away from those two things?
The same thing as you. I think it's pointed and I think it's optimistic. We can come to a deal with Saquon Barkley because we want Saquon Barkley back at the right number and maybe at our number, right? At the right number that we can agree on that's not necessarily overvalued because we're not going to overpay for him as much as we value Saquon Barkley as a player and a person in the locker room. But I think it's also just not like shade, but just maybe the reality of the situation that his last representation, Saquon Barkley's, was like, no, you're worth a little bit more, need to get as much as possible, which that's their job to do so. And maybe Edward Berry, since there is a good relationship between the front office of the New York Giants and this agent, there's going to be more room for negotiation and more understanding in the negotiation process that could benefit the New York Giants ultimately.
I think it could too, and getting Saquon Barkley back at a reasonable price, or at least what Joe Shane and the Giants would consider to be a reasonable price. I still have my qualms, Nick, about investing in Saquon Barkley long-term at the age of 27, regardless of what price it's going to be and on whose terms it's going to be. Now,
so I think we talked about that, and I didn't want to cut you off there, bud, but
no, go ahead.
I think this is really relevant to the last podcast or the podcast that you're going to be listening to here in a little bit about the quarterback.
Yeah.
Right. How much does that factor into this? So let me rephrase that so it's a little bit more cogent and concise and clear. Do you want Saquon Barkley back if the Giants do have a first round quarterback that they invested in?
If the Giants do, you know, trade up for that quarterback, like Mike Garofolo, Giant Insider, said 76.9% chance. Art Stapleton said 65% chance. Decent numbers on both ends. They do trade up for that quarterback. I am okay investing long-term in Barkley for a multitude of reasons. One would be that the salary cap relief they're going to get from the quarterback position, because they'll get rid of that Daniel Jones contract next year and they'll just have the rookie contract of the quarterback, 9, 10, 11 mil against the cap. You're saving 30 mil in cap space a year at quarterback and more, because Jones's contract was structured in a way that just goes up 47 and 52 million against the cap. So you're saving 40 million in cap space essentially at the quarterback position. You can afford to then dish some out to Saquon Barkley. But two, the main thing is that it's going to make that quarterback's life so much easier, not just because of the things people think, which is, do you stack a ball? I don't really necessarily think, I've always been of the belief that defense coordinators aren't really game planning for running backs. They're game planning for quarterbacks and offensive schemes.
They've been game planning for Saquon Barkley for,
but I think
basically since he's come
quarterback
to the league,
too.
Bro.
But I think that's because of the quarterback too. That's my,
of
that's
course,
where we
do, yeah, of yeah, course yeah. it is. It's not
like if Joe Burrow was on,
If there was Joe Burrow, it would be Joe Burrow, but it's been Daniel Jones, of course.
Right, right. So like, it's like if Joe Burrow was there and Barkley was there, my thought process is the game plan would be to stop Joe Burrow. And so they're not, you know, but when you have a quarterback like Jones, it's easier, obviously, the game plan around Barkley. But, you know, if you're trading up for a quarterback, you're hoping to get the quarterback like Burrow that, you know, you game plan for him. So it's not necessarily as much for that future wise. It's more so for the fact that I think it would take a lot of pressure off the quarterback, because you would be able to have somebody else that they will have to game plan for. Because you're right, they're still going to game plan for a talent like Saquon Barkley, no matter what, who is that quarterback. Even if we had Burrow or Mahomes or whatever, you still have to. But also, too, Saquon Barkley's had so much growth from a pass protection standpoint. And that's just a great thing to give. Like, let's say you draft the quarterback, you trade up, you let Barkley walk. What do you do at running back? You have Eric Gray, Brightwell, and whatever else you can get maybe through the draft, because that's the like long-term best way to do it from a cap standpoint. But then you have three guys in there with no certainty that anyone could be a pass protector there. You're putting a rookie quarterback there with a running back. So it's like it becomes very much so more important to either sign a veteran who's great in pass protection or to re-sign Barkley and get him back on the roster and eat some cap maybe. Because like, look, you're re-signing a 27-year-old running back. The history says don't do that ever. Like, look at what Austin Eckler, he fell off a cliff last year. Age 28 cliff is not good for running backs, but you're also getting a guy who immediately helps that rookie quarterback in pass pro.
And he's also a big part of the locker room, which is important. Yep. And he's going to help with the leadership of the offense, which also is important. And he's not an overshadowing or overbearing personality. It's not like whoever the quarterback is, say the Giants do go quarterback, Saquon Barkley is going to be like, oh, you're stealing my spotlight. That can't happen. And that's the thing in the NFL. There's a lot of egos. Saquon Barkley doesn't strike me as an individual with a large ego when it comes to like teammates on his team, right? Like, he is a team player. And that's something I've always respected about Saquon. And I'm on the same page as you. And I think you'll agree with this. I don't think it's necessarily a cut and dry thing. Like, I am open to bringing back Saquon Barkley at the right price, but I also acknowledge that Saquon Barkley has a lot of injuries under his belt. And I also acknowledge that it's probably a depreciating asset at this point, because he is 27 years old, and it sucks that that's the reality of the situation. And that Saquon Barkley, his effectiveness is predicated on his athletic ability. And I still think he has a couple good years left in the NFL, which makes me very open to bringing him back. But I don't think it's necessarily a cut and dry thing where it's like, we have to bring him back. Like if he is playing hardball, if Ed Berry does play hardball, I think the Giants could go in another direction. But I don't necessarily also believe that that's going to be the best thing for the development of the quarterback, which should be your number one priority if you invest in that, in that quarterback in the first round.
And I think we're exactly on the same page with that. Like, I'm willing to sacrifice some long-term goals for some short-term help for this rookie quarterback. And I just don't feel that way if they don't get a quarterback in this class and they return with Daniel Jones. I just personally don't see the point of bringing back Barkley with Jones as the quarter, as your only option at quarter, your only like real option at quarterback.
It's crazy, man. Cause just last off season, it was like, hey, we got to run it back. Right. We made the playoffs. We won a playoff game. Let's run it back. Now it's like, bro, like we're done running it back. Like we're all ran out. Like we're tired at this point. Like the Daniel Jones, Saquon Barkley, like this era of New York Giants has to be put to an end. And we're open to having Saquon Barkley back only if we have fresh blood at the quarterback position who desperately kind of would need that leader in Saquon Barkley on and off the field, because Saquon Barkley would still have, I think, value on the football field, even though it is a depreciating asset.
Yeah, and then that's to be clear how Nick and I feel, and that's based on the history of the running back position. You could see the steep. You can look it up online and find the steep drop offs of running backs age 27 into 27, 28. I think it is the median between those numbers. But also, you can see it on the field. Saquon Barkley's not the same talent he was in 2018. That's okay. He has an ACL and MCL. The breakaway runs are way down. Breakaway run percentage is way down. The yards after contact way down. I mean, these are true numbers that you can find anywhere online. This is not objective, but I mean, it's not an opinion. It's the fact. But having said that, like, it changes, like Nick said, if you have a rookie quarterback in there, because you need to help him. And I think it's from the locker room standpoint, it becomes more important as well. But that's the thing. Like, you don't want to make everything be on this rookie quarterback's plate from a leadership standpoint right away. You have a guy already in there who's the face of your offense in Saquon Barkley.
What's going on, Big Blue Banter?
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Listeners, I'm excited for the football season for several reasons. And one of those reasons is Prize Picks, which is North America's largest independently owned daily fantasy sports platform. And it's so simple to use. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including professionals, sharks, and people who are going to exploit you, you pick more than or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections, and you just watch the winnings roll in. It's very simple to play and gives you a little extra skin. I've set my picks in less than 60 seconds. There are so many stats to choose from, and the withdrawals of funds are easy and quick. Dan and I will be adding a segment to our show before every game where we pick our favorite stats, more or less yards or touchdowns, what have you, and we'll be discussing why from a scheme, matchup, and game theory perspective. I love their promotions and how easy their interface is to operate at Prize Picks. I may select more on tackles for a loss from Bobby Okereke or Kayvon Thibodeau next game. They also do other sports as well.
It's a really cool experience. Please join Dan and I in the fun of Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com/banter and use code BANTER for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, go to prizepicks.com/banter and use code BANTER for a first deposit matchup to $100. You will not regret it.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oh, my friends, you know what time it is. You're hungry, you're starving, and you desperately need pizza. You should get the best pizza on the market. And that is, of course, Little Caesars. Make Little Caesars, the official pizza sponsor of the NFL, part of your game day. Order online during the pizza pregame all day on NFL game days and even on Pro Bowl Sunday. And get ready for some football fun and cheesy, delicious pizza. Choose your favorite Little Caesars pizza or pick the toppings you crave. Either way, you win. And speaking of winning, everyone scores with convenient delivery or our in-store pizza portal pickup. So grab some friends and enjoy a few slices during the game.
Well, think about Kayvon Thibodeau, who's come out this offseason and said, we felt a sort of way as a team that we paid a quarterback over Saquon. That's how much weight Saquon Barkley carries in this locker room.
Right.
He's very well respected. He's revered by his teammates. And that can go a long way, especially if the footing of the support for the head coach dwindles if the team does struggle next year.
And he didn't say it, but think about what Kayvon said. You know, we felt like Saquon should have been paid before Jones. They had paid Saquon and tagged Jones. Look at the different position they're in right now. Kayvon's seeing the future in a sense in that way, you know, as a joke, but like they'd be in a different spot if they had went that route, and everybody would have been on board with that in the locker room, in my opinion. And obviously things would be way different right now for the Giants if they didn't have that $47 million cap hit for Jones and another $23 million in dead cap for 2025. Even if they cut him, they still have to pay that 23 against the cap. So it's interesting from that standpoint, but I did want to bring up the Barkley thing. I think ultimately, regardless of what we think, Nick, the Giants have a better than 50% chance of re-signing Barkley. I think the Giants, John Mara really wants him to be part of this team. I think Joe Shane values him too, to be completely honest. I really do believe that. And that's not to say Joe Shane's crazy or anything for valuing the running back position, but I think he just thinks of this a little bit differently than like, is he a running back and what's his age? I think he thinks about it, like you said, from that locker room standpoint, from what Barkley brings off the field. Cause I listen to these interviews and I hear him mention that every single time.
And that's what you want from your general manager, right, Dan? Like you want a general manager who's not just like, well, you know, it goes by the facts that we're talking about, right? You want him to look at everything that has to do with the New York Football Giants. So that's what I want my general manager. And there are general managers who don't do that. We know that. We've experienced that.
Yeah, that's true. As far as the other front goes with Xavier McKinney, I didn't think there was anything too interesting, but he did mention that you know, they're going to have a meeting with his agent on Friday of this. That was earlier this week, so that'll be this Friday coming up. So that meeting has already been planned. They're going to see what happens with that. But there, you know, it does say that, you know, these contracts, because it's not necessarily that that's a bad thing, Nick, but it's also that the contracts have not really progressed to a crazy extent there. If they're meeting with him on Friday, and they're going to go from there and see where they're at. But he did say, you know, he's 24 years old, a team captain, and he played 100% of the snaps. So they're going to want to try to get him in here. So we'll see what happens on that front. I thought what was really interesting about something Joe Shane said was, the change in defensive philosophy that's coming. And he says, we're going to look for more edge guys. Wink preferred more run stoppers on first and second down. And he believed it's really important to stop the run on those first couple downs so we can get to those exotic blitzes on third down. And he said, that doesn't mean Shane's not going to believe in stopping the run. You know, it's still very important, but his philosophy, Shane Bowen, the Giants' new defensive coordinator. Yep. His philosophy is to let's get after the passer. And that means we're going to look for more edge guys. So I think that hinted at one, edge is a big priority for the Giants this offseason, whether that be in free agency or the draft or both. Edge is a big priority. And that shouldn't surprise anyone given Aziz Ojulari's injury history and the lack of depth behind Thibodeau and Aziz. But also, I thought it was really interesting to hear him say, like, it's going to be a philosophical change as far as what the defense is looking to accomplish as far as stopping the run on first, specifically on the first and second down.
I love it. I absolutely love to hear it. And that's what we want, man. I've been pounding the damn table. Let's get a damn edge rusher to complement Kayvon Thibodeau and Azeez Ojulari. And if you watch Shane Bowen's defense, man, you could see it, right? They're aligning from wide nine positions. They're flying up the arc. They're running a lot of four-man pressure packages, a lot of twists, a lot of things of that nature. So look, it's combine week, man. Look at some of these three cones, some of these defensive players, these edge rushers who have high three cones. I remember when Sam Hubbard came out of Ohio State. He plays for the Cincinnati Bengals. Now, I would say a very accomplished NFL player. He ran like a ridiculously fast three cone, like one of the best three cones at the combine, like over cornerbacks and wide receivers. And turning on his tape, you saw how he twisted for the Ohio State defense. And I was like, this guy is going to be an absolute stud as a 4-3 end who was used on twists. And a player like that, I think, would fit very well with what Shane Bowen is doing. So I'm really paying attention to that drill specifically with the combine, just because, man, if you could turn on a dime, 270, 280 pounds, you could be very valuable. And I also think the Giants are going to look to bring in like a Danico Autry and maybe somebody else who has played under Shane Bowen when he was the defensive coordinator of the Titans.
And that's a great point you brought up, Nick, because I tweeted out one of these earlier. Josh Norris, who's a longtime draft analyst, used to be for RotoWorld. I think now he does it with Underdog. He has compiled a lot of these numbers, and the stickiest drills over time are the short shuttle for offensive linemen, and he showed it earlier this week. There's just such a huge hit rate on these guys who hit a certain mark at a short shuttle on offensive line. And then he's like, nothing really running back, nothing really great receiver, whatever, whatever. But the end, edge, there's a really good correlation between the three-cone drill and edges that have worked out if you hit that certain number. And I think in Shane Bowden's defense, it's going to be even more important. You went over that really well, Nick. And I think we have, if you guys want more information on that, go back and listen to our Shane Bowen podcast from when he was hired as defensive coordinator. We talk a lot more about it there. But edge is a big priority for this team. I think it's pretty obvious now. And we're going to see how the Giants have planned to approach that. Now, I want to talk a little bit about what Joe Shane said about Daniel Jones's recovery. Said he's been working hard in the building every day. There's some talk in the spring that he may be able to go through, seven on sevens or individual routes against air, and he might be able to do that stuff. But he says we're probably not going to expose him to team activities. So that's interesting. OTAs, keep that in mind for OTAs. I don't think Daniel Jones will be the QB1 in the team activities. That's at least what he's saying, and it makes sense. He's coming off an ACL. He says everybody responds to surgeries differently, but if he continues at the pace and doesn't have any setbacks, he should be ready for the start of training camp. And he started already throwing. He's been throwing about 2 weeks now stationary. So not moving, not dropping back or doing any of that, just stationary throwing.
I think this quarterback situation is so fascinating, man.
Yeah.
Because you have everything that we talk about in the podcast is going to drop here in a little bit. Everything with, are the Giants going to trade up? Are the Giants going to select the quarterback? That's hanging over the franchise's head. If you want to add a quarterback, a veteran quarterback, through free agency, you got to do that before the NFL draft, before you're in that place where you could select a quarterback. And then you also have Tommy DeVito. Did he do enough to be that second quarterback if you choose not to select the quarterback to kind of take a lot of these reps as Daniel Jones gets healthy? Like, I just think there's so many different options and so many different things the Giants could do. And it's a pivotal time too. I mean, selecting a quarterback and bringing in the face of your franchise to usurp the player who has been the face of your franchise from the quarterback position is no easy thing to do. And Joe Shane and Brian Daboll have their work cut out for him. I'm really excited to see what they do.
You're right, Nick. And he had some comments on that too, some of which you'll hear in the next podcast, but they are important to bring up. He said, the reality is Daniel Jones is coming off three injuries in 2 years. That's something Joe Shane says. Man. And then he talks about quarterback. We're going to have to address it. That doesn't necessarily, I said it before, I'll say it again. That doesn't necessarily mean they're going to have to address QB1, but they are addressing quarterback. There will be a quarterback either re-signed via Tyrod Taylor. And I did see that he mentioned again, we're going to talk with Taylor's agents. I don't think the door is totally closed on re-signing Tyrod. Go ahead.
So the thing is, man, if they re-sign Tyrod, which I'm fully all about, does that suggest they might not go quarterback, or you just go quarterback, sacrifice a roster spot, have three quarterbacks on your roster? Goodbye, Tommy DeVito. I mean, that's likely what's going to happen. Does Daniel Jones start though on the physically unable to perform list?
Right.
Yeah. You know, like there's so many moving parts to this.
Interesting.
And a lot of it is kind of contingent on how healthy is Daniel Jones.
True. And I think ultimately that's why we might see them not re-sign Tyrod Taylor, for example, and not sign a quarterback till after the draft. That's what I think. There's going to be a lot of quarterbacks that are hanging around free agency, those like Taylor type quarterbacks, maybe not quite the one you want, but a type like that. They're going to hang around until after the draft because their agents are going to want them to. They're going to be like, let's see how the draft shakes out and let's see where the quarterback openings are and where we can get you competition where you could get starter reps in 2024. That's that's objective every agent and quarterback that's on the market. So I think more than likely we'll get to at least learn that after the draft, Nick. So it's like going into the draft, I think it'll be Jones under contract, and I think it will be DeVito, under contract. draft, and those are the two. And then we'll see what happens in the draft. Then maybe they do resign a Tyrod or something like that. But, you know, there's just some interesting comments that were made in general outside of that about the quarterback and the quarterback situation. And so they asked Joe Shane, when you talk about your faith in Daniel Jones, does that faith rise to precluding drafting a quarterback in the first round? And he says, when we are at six, we're going to look at everything. We're going to look at everything. We're going to look at all positions. Let's hope you're not up there again. You don't want to be picking the top 10, but it's a good draft. So we're going to evaluate all positions, take the best player we can. I'll say this, Nick. I don't think that means they're definitely trading up for a quarterback. But, like, if they had full-fledged belief in Daniel Jones, because they asked, you know, he said his whole thing, like, I have my belief in Jones, whatever. He's got the physical traits. He never, by the way, whenever Joe Shane does talk about, like, when he's pressed on it, because did you see that, Charlie Vacchiano, yeah. In some spaces, and he got in, and he got a call in with Madeline Burke and John Schmelke.
I'm so glad that Schmelke and Madeline put him on.
Air,
you know?
Yeah,
yeah, because that's something where it's like awkward. They know that it was going to be like kind of chastising Joe Shane. I think Charlie like handled it perfectly. He's like, "What are you seeing this guy?"
Yeah,
Joe Shane, I felt like handled it perfectly too. He was like, "Hey man, like thank you for the it was a good interaction."
Yeah, they both and I got to give credit to Schmelke and Madeline Burke, because I think they're willing to consider all sides, because they were they had another follow up with Sam Monson of Pro Football Focus, and they pushed back on him when he was just discussing the Jones situation. They were like, look, isn't it better to be in the situation the Giants are in now, considering the quarterback market, where at least they have someone because they have Jones rather than having no one? And Monson's like, yes, I see what you're saying, but think about it like this. If they had tagged him, and he was coming off the franchise tag, they let him hit the open market. Now he comes back to them and he signs for a fraction of the price of $47 million against cap. I mean, I think Jones at this point would get nothing on the open market, more than like 12, maybe 8 to 12 range. And that's what the Giants re-signed for. And then they agreed. They said, you know, it's a good point. So like they're willing to accept that. And they obviously let that call go in through from Charlie. But, you know, he said, what are you seeing this guy?
I love it, keep
bringing up the Minnesota game, but what about the Dallas game, 40 to nothing? What about the Eagles divisional game and all the other bad games?
Joe Shane's like, God damn it, dude. I got to fucking see
right. Yeah. Joe Shane will say his thing, you know, talk about the physical traits. But I find it interesting that whenever he talks about it, he always mentions the physical traits. He never mentions the mental traits. He never says he's got all the physical tools we want in the quarterback and he's got the mental tools we want in the quarterback. He's never once said it. He said he's a good heart. I'm not talking about, is he a hard worker? We all know he's a hard worker. We all know he's going to be first in the building, out of the building. We all know he's a good team leader. We're ready for that. He studies hard. But he never mentions anything about his processing, about getting the ball out quick, about understanding concepts from a mental processing standpoint before the snap, after the snap, any of that. It's never mentioned by Joe Shane. And even in this answer that I brought up before and when answering this question, like if you really believe, like I'm not even entertaining quarterback in this draft class, because some people probably think that that's the move for the Giants, so that's what might happen because they just re-signed Jones to a big contract. If he wasn't even entertaining taking a quarterback in this class, Nick, or trading up for a quarterback, he wouldn't answer that question like that, because they said, does that your faith precluding drafting a quarterback in the first round? He would just be like, yeah, we're not drafting a quarterback in the first round. Like I've seen GMs do this. He'd be very definitive with it. Like we're not going that direction. We have a quarterback and that's it.
Yeah. That's silly though. I mean, you have to look at Daniel Jones in his entirety and realize like, look, this guy has one good year, but the offense kind of got figured out. And then we played a bunch of weak defenses and he capitalized on it and credits Daniel Jones for that. But then the next year was an absolute disaster for a lot of, as Joe Shane said, like, look, I'm culpable for some of Daniel Jones' failures through the 2023 season. But you also got to look at the fact that the prime season of Daniel Jones, the season that got him this big contract, the Giants were dead freaking last in explosive. But I know people like roll their eyes at this point because we say it so much, but that is very important. That is a very important reality that Joe Shane must address. If you want to consistently compete for Super Bowls, you need to be able to flip the field. You need to be able to punish defenses consistently 20 yards at a time. It can't just always be 5 yards, 4 yards, run through the B gap, get a couple yards. No, man, you need to be multifaceted as an offense.
Yeah. And I think that's obviously a reality that they're facing right now and deciding where to go with it. But he also mentioned this, which I thought was interesting. They asked him about the quarterback class. He said, it's a good quarterback draft. It's not just at the top, but then the Giants going to just go second. But he says, but I don't think that matters as much, because then he followed up with, there are some guys that are mid-levels that I think will be good number twos. He said it straight up there, you know? So like, while he said it's not just at the top, he also kind of then said the guys who aren't just at the top will be good number QB twos. Who's looking for a QB two though? I mean, like that's a nice thing to have. But it's not, and it's great, and I want him too. And he said there are guys in this class that I think can be number threes, whatever that means. Who even carries QB3 these days? Most teams are only carrying one or two, so I don't even know what that means. But yeah, developmental type guys, right? Yeah, which I would just consider QB2, to be honest. Like, no teams carry.
Well, no, there's a huge difference, though, man.
True.
Just think about, like, quarterback two, like, you need, like, a Tyrod Taylor for a quarterback two. You know, like, quarterback three, a developmental project. That's, like, the kid from Tennessee right now.
Yeah, or DeVito.
I'm thinking more along the lines of
tools
upside guy where you can get Brian Daboll. Look, I know this guy's not going to get a lot of reps because practice is a little bit more limited in today's football, but let's see if you can unlock something out of him. And if he's not good enough, come, final cuts, he won't make the team. We'll put him on the practice squad. If we lose him, we lose him, but let's see what we can get out of him. And I love the fact that the Giants right now, at least he has the track record, Coach Brian Daboll, of developing a young quarterback and getting the most out of him after starting being a raw player. Now, are you going to get that from somebody in day three? Or are you going to get a job? No, more than likely not. Although it has happened in the past, right? With guys like Tom Brady. So, but I just like that Brian Daboll at least has proven that he can develop young quarterbacks who have tools.
Yeah, I completely agree with you on that. And it's interesting because we discussed a lot, Nick, on this podcast and the one that's going to follow up, like if the Giants are potentially trading up for a quarterback in this draft. Mike Garofalo said 76.9% chance the Giants are going to draft a quarterback in round one, whatever that number means. But he's obviously a big time reporter. And then he followed up by saying they've been taking the temperature on what a trade up would cost for 1, 2, and 3. And obviously, Art Stapleton said on the New York Giants Revival podcast that 65% chance he thinks that the Giants will trade up for a quarterback. Okay, we hear that. But if that's going to happen, Nick, what I found interesting about what Joe Shane said at the combine, it's going to happen most likely on draft day, unless it's for the number one overall pick. If it's for 2 or 3, it's probably not going to happen until draft day. Cause Joe, they asked him about that. Would you trade before the draft? He said, that'd be hard to do until you're on the clock. That's a different occasion. I know the Panthers did it last year and they did it. Like, I think the date was March. This is Joe Shane. I think the date was March 10th. He said they traded up to 1. So whatever exposure they had to Bryce Young or CJ Stroud, whoever their guy was, must've been good enough that they said, we got our guy. And I think that's important because then if you get around them or you find the information out, maybe you're not excited about, you just trade a lot of draft capital, go up, get somebody that now you're uneasy about. So I think you've got to be comfortable with the film. You've got to be comfortable with who the player is, with what the setup is going to be for that player to have success before you do something like that. So I think what he's trying to say to me, Nick, when I read that is, they want to meet with these guys more. They want to get more information on these guys before they're willing to trade up for one of these quarterbacks. And they are meeting. They met with Jaden Daniels already. They're meeting with Caleb Williams tonight. So that's going to be those two. I assume Drake May is going to be on the list potentially. And who knows if JJ McCarthy will be as well. But that to me is hearing that Joe Shane is probably not going to make this deal. If he's going to make this deal, as soon as the Panthers made it last year.
Yeah, if only there was this huge event where they can just get all the players together. And then, they're going to be talking to a lot of people.
Oh, yeah, at the combine.
A lot of these underclassmen who they did not get a chance. Well, now some of these underclassmen get a chance to go to the Senior Bowl and all of these other events, which is pretty unique and a little bit strange and hard to adjust to at this point. But yeah, they're gonna get a lot of information this week. And just judge by past comments from Joe Shane, Joe Shane's going to be talking to a lot of other general managers this week. They're all going to be in the same location. And who knows, some trades could be set up. Last year, I believe it was at the combine where the former Las Vegas Raiders general manager talked with Joe Shane and they set up the third round swap for Darren Waller. So a lot of conversations about to be had.
True. Good point. Just interesting on the trade front, though. And then finally, one final thing I want to discuss with you. I like this quote about Jalen Hyatt. This is another thing. I like this quote about Hyatt. What caught your eye about him? He said it was the speed against very good competition. I think that's a great point. I was watching some film of Jalen Hyatt from his rookie season back, Nick, and the way he beats some of that outside coverage and stacks those DBs. Thinking about the Raiders game where he had so many separations, the one where Jones overthrew him, and then also the one where Jones just floated and it hung in the air and he had to like reverse his body to catch it. Those two routes, though, Jalen Hyatt was wide open. He created a lot of separation with speed against the DB there. So, and they're talking about NFL competition. I think all competition is very good at the NFL level when it comes to corners. You're facing the best, the 64 best of the best as far as outside corners go when you're playing in NFL level competition. That's his first year. So I thought that was interesting. I also thought it was interesting to hear what he said about the free agent running back market. And this might relate to Saquon Barkley. He says, I can't predict what's going to happen with the running back market. We'll have a better feeling here in a couple weeks. But once you get into that and you start to do the negotiations and contracts, the three running backs last year who were franchised, he said, we'll see if that happens again this year. Maybe they're not. And then what is their value? He said, so there's a lot of uncertainty as you go into free agency, but he said, you'll get a really good feel for the market 13 days from now when we can start negotiating with free agents. I think his feel is to let this running back market play out itself when it comes to Saquon Barkley. So that is intriguing as far as will Saquon be back or not, because that could give him the open door to get a big contract offer from a Texans team or something like that. And then he may never come back to the Giants at that point. All right, those are all the key takeaways I got, Nick, from Joe Shane's presser. A lot on Saquon, a lot on the quarterback position, trading up potentially, and when that would come. And then the Shane Bowen nugget I thought was interesting. Anything else on that you took out or that I may have missed?
No, I think we're good to go.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much for tuning into the Big Blue Banter podcast. We're talking Combine. We're talking Giants news. More to come as well. The Combine is this weekend. We will discuss prospects as well from the Combine in a recap episode to come. So thanks again for tuning in to the Big Blue Banter podcast. Have a great rest of your week, and we'll talk to you soon.